Welcome to Talking Up Eagle Mountain, where we will discuss a variety of topics relating to Eagle Mountain City, services, programs, and goals. I am Mayor Westmoreland, and I will be the host of this episode of Talking Up Eagle Mountain. The subject matter today is business and economic development. So thank you for listening to today's podcast. I have with me Holly Harwood, our director of Eagle Mountain Chamber of Commerce. Thanks for being with us, Holly.
Thank you.
Aaron Sanborn, Economic Development Director of Eagle Mountain City. And Donna Burnham, City Council member. So thanks for being here to discuss economic development. So Holly, let's start with you. The Chamber of Commerce is just, I'm just so excited about it right now. It's just thriving. It's taking off, and so we have high hopes for the Chamber of Commerce. Tell us a little bit about the chamber. Like, you know, what is a chamber? You know, what are your goals? What have you been able to accomplish so far?
Well, thank you for having me. The Eagle Mountain Chamber started in 2018 with their board of directors. And Chamber of Commerce is a local association to help provide businesses in the area support. Chambers of Commerce are all about helping the local businesses, whether they're small, medium, or large, all sizes of businesses. We have a lot of involvement in community-oriented activities. We have a lot of different things that we can help businesses do. We have directory listings, a lot of membership benefits, luncheons, we have networking. We can help businesses with ribbon cuttings when they join the chamber. A lot of just helping those small businesses, medium and large, get their name out there for the communities, the surrounding communities, so that people know about them. I mean, that's the biggest thing. A lot of different trainings and workshops, but our chamber particularly is great because we're new and we're growing and we're just gaining membership all the time, so it's going well. We have a lot of great things on the horizon. Networking luncheons and upcoming stuff that we have going on. We have our monthly networking. We have Fat Cats Bowling. We have multi-chamber functions that we have four times a year. And that's where we combine with Point of the Mountain Chamber, American Fork Chamber, Pleasant Grove Chamber, and Pleasant Grove Linden. And we combine with them. And it's good because then people are getting more exposure. These small businesses can say, okay, I'm going to go network, and I'm going to network with people from in the region. So it's good.
You know, and Holly, you know, maybe I should just jump in here for, I know a lot of people know you, but maybe some of our listeners don't. And yes. And I have to say, we're just really, I just feel like we're lucky to have Holly here as a director. And this is not the first time you've been involved with the chamber.
No, I've actually been in the chamber world for over 4 years. I worked for Point of the Mountain Chamber, and I was the office manager there. And I learned so much, and I realized what chambers can do for business. And it was really exciting for me to move out to Eagle Mountain Chamber of Commerce because I live out here. So I'm vested. I am very vested in the chamber.
One of the things I really enjoy about this, I have to say, we stole Holly. We really did. And that's different. Usually we have other organizations stealing our people. So this is one opportunity we had to return the favor.
Yeah.
And so we're really glad to
Thank
have
you.
Holly
I'm
here.
Glad to be here. I'm excited.
So, we have a lot of local businesses.
Yes.
And so that's what the chamber's designed to do, right?
Yes.
So we have, in fact, Aaron, you might even have this number. We have quite a few home-based businesses, don't we?
Yeah, throughout the city, I mean, we probably have, you know, upwards of 300 to 400 home-based businesses in Eagle Mountain City. You know, it's a large part of our business base. Just, you know, local entrepreneurs just looking to do this, that, and the other thing, whether it's, you know, construction services, contractors, accounting, daycares,
yeah.
all these different home-based businesses that are right here homegrown. And it's a huge part of our local business economy.
And I dare say that most of those probably are going to need some assistance, some advice, somewhere along the line.
Correct.
And that's what the chamber is here to do, right?
Correct. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole idea of the Chamber of Commerce is a convener of business. I mean, that's the whole idea of our networking events, is to get people out of their home, the home-based business, and come and network with others. And then, you know, once you create those relationships, then that's the idea, is hopefully they will say, oh, well, I need a HVAC guy, or I need, you know, anything. I mean, all kinds of businesses. And then they work with each other. And that's the idea, is to help get people on the same page and get them all working in the same network.
Now, Holly, you've got a couple of companies that are represented in the Chamber of Commerce that are sizable companies. What kind of impact does that make? What do they bring to the table?
Yes, for sure. I mean, there is big companies that are part of it. And it is good because they like to be connected in several ways. They like to be connected with the residents. They like to be connected with the businesses. And that's a good way for us to have a symbiotic relationship where we can help them and they can help us. They sponsor things. They sponsor events. They, you know, help. And it brings the people in the area and the businesses to say, oh, well, they're not just this big business. They actually do care about the residents and the community and the small business. So it just kind of helps. We help each other. It's a good thing.
Great. Well, thank you, Holly. Let's see. What do businesses need to do? If someone hasn't been involved with the Chamber of Commerce,
yes.
What can you tell them?
So you need to go to EagleMountainChamber.com. That is your portal to find out. We have a calendar. I have a Facebook page. We have a Facebook page that has all of our events, has everything coming up. It's a great way to see what businesses are coming in. And that website is getting overhauled right now. It's going to be even better. And it's just a great place to be able to, we're actually going to make it so that businesses can put like deals on there if they have something great coming up that they want to advertise. We have a newsletter that goes out that kind of is just an overall view of, okay, these are the events coming up. This is what's happening. So it's just a convener of space. Yeah. So EagleMountainChamber.com.
Okay. Are there any upcoming events that you haven't mentioned that you want to tag
over for? This next September 12th, we are having our Business After Hours networking. Anybody can come to that has a business, wants to bring business cards. September 12th from 5:30 to 7 at Cedar Valley Pharmacy. That's our most current event.
Okay. Thank you, Holly. Okay, so we've talked about some Fortune 100 companies that have joined our chamber and the impact they're making in the city and all the things they're doing to assist our smaller businesses. So as we mentioned earlier, we have with this council member Donna Burnham, and you just recently made a trip out to Sherman, Texas. What can you tell us about your trip? Why did you go out there?
Well, I went out there because, as you know, Tyson is coming to Eagle Mountain, and we wanted, as a council, we felt that because there were so many concerns from residents about what that would mean for Eagle Mountain, we felt that it would be helpful if someone actually went to Sherman, boots on the ground, and got to see the impact that Tyson has on Sherman, Texas, and, you know, really what kind of company it is, if it really is what they say it is. And so that's what I went to find out.
So you got to go there representing your constituents,
yes,
to look at it through their eyes and to,
yes,
see what is Tyson Foods all about, and gain some firsthand experience. So you went to this facility in Sherman, Texas. And no doubt some of the residents had some concerns and some questions. What were some of those questions, and what did you find out?
Okay, so I know one of the concerns was the smell. And a large part of that was because there was a little bit of a misunderstanding between a meat processing plant and a meat packaging plant. But still, even those that did understand that it was a meat packaging plant were still concerned meat smells. And so they were concerned that there would be bad smells. So I went and...
I sniffed around,
literally. And not only that, I asked people, because you know how sometimes the mink farms smell and then they don't smell? I just wanted to know. So I asked the people at the hotel, because the hotel was less than 2 miles, I think, from Tyson. I'm like, does it smell? And they looked at me like I was really strange. I'm like, no, it doesn't smell. So I went there, sniffed around, it does not smell. And there's a reason that it doesn't smell. And I learned why it doesn't smell. What they do is everything except for the office spaces are refrigerated, basically. If you work at Tyson, you wear a winter coat. It's cold. They keep it chilled. And so all their meat products stay cold all the time. So, for example, let's say they're doing steaks and there's meat that's not quite thick enough for a steak. It doesn't meet their quality, but they could use it for carne asada. So then it goes into a bin that stays cold and it goes to be used for that. Or if it doesn't meet their quality at all, then it goes into a different bin, stays cold. So that bin will get shipped out to for dog food or for makeup or things like that. Things that fall on the floor go into a bin. All of it goes out into refrigerated trucks. It never gets warm, and that's why you don't get the bad smell that you would expect, because it doesn't get a chance to get warm and smell bad. So the smell is good. So another concern I know that residents had was about jobs, right? They were like, well, a lot of the jobs only start at, you know, $17 an hour. Keep in mind that that includes all the benefits, and that is a really good job. And when I asked residents of Sherman what they thought about Tyson, the main thing that they said was, we love that they provide jobs for our residents and that they're good jobs. And so a lot of people that start out on the line are usually fresh out of high school, or in the summer, they do, because there's a higher demand for steaks and different things like that in the summer.
So a few barbecues going on.
Yeah. Okay. So they will hire college students in the summer. That way they don't have to lay off and rehire. It just gives them that extra boost of people in the summer. And so a lot of the college students will come back every year. It helps them to pay for their college and so forth. But it's kind of an exciting culture at Tyson, because although a lot of them are, you start on the line with these basic jobs, they provide so many opportunities for education. For example, if you don't speak English, they'll provide ESL classes. If you haven't graduated from high school, they help with GED classes to help improve you. And then they hire from within and they encourage that. The plant manager who in Sherman worked on the line 35 years ago and just worked his way through the company. They also do aptitude things where they can see, oh, this person has aptitude for mechanical. So they'll train them on their specific systems, their specific equipment. And those jobs are very high paying. And it's just an exciting opportunity that these employees, they come in, if they're willing to work, and it's such a good culture that there's a lot of advancement opportunities within the company. And it was fun to see that.
That sounds exciting. Any insights you can give on the equipment, the facility that they'll be building here?
This is, from what I understand, the first time that they have built from the grounds up a facility. Typically, they just take over an old one. That's what Sherman was. It was... I can't remember. It was
Oscar Mayer.
Yeah, it was an old Oscar Mayer plant and they retrofitted it. This one, they don't have to retrofit. And so they're super excited about that. It's going to have more automation, more safety features, because that's a huge deal for Sherman, is protecting their employees. They have nurses, 2 full-time nurses on site at all times. They care about their employees and safety. And in fact, there's one shift that was 365 days injury free. That's pretty amazing. Wow. So safety is a huge issue for them.
Well, good. Thank you for that that report, Donna. It sounds like that trip was very productive.
Mm-hmm.
So what impact, you know, we're a growing city and we're building roads as quick as we can and trying to keep up with traffic demands. What anything you can share with us there that you observed as far as traffic created demand situations as far as Tyson goes?
Yeah, so Sherman is kind of situated somewhat similar to Eagle Mountain in that they have a major highway that goes through. Now, their highway is a little bigger than ours currently, right now, but we looked for truck traffic, and they have a ton of manufacturing facilities in the city, and the truck traffic wasn't a problem. What I like about how they are working with their employees as well, though, is that the employee traffic, when they're coming to work, they're staggering them. So you're not going to have all your employees coming at the same time. So that helps with traffic. And in addition to that, we have to remember that they're coming the opposite way. So our traffic is all going one direction. This traffic is going to be coming the other direction. So it's not going to slow us down. It's actually going to help those residents who are going to get work there, no longer going to have to be fighting the traffic to Salt Lake. It's going to take them off of that traffic and put them going the opposite direction, which is going to improve the traffic situation that way. And the trucks seem to be staggered. It didn't seem to be a problem. Also, a lot of them arrive early in the morning when there isn't a lot of traffic on the road. So I found that it wasn't a problem there. So I think that it's not going to be the problem that residents were concerned about.
Well, good. That's good to hear. It might also be worth mentioning at this point, this is something we talked about in our last segment of Talking Up Eagle Mountain, is that Tyson will be building roads. They'll be putting in roads in the valley, which will be helpful as well.
Yes.
Getting across the valley and providing alternate routes. So let's maybe Councilmember Burnham, maybe you touch on for just really quick, we're getting close on time here, but can you describe, share with us your perspective on, as a council member, the council's role in economic development?
You bet. A lot of people ask us, well, when is the city council going to bring us a Chick-fil-A? That's my favorite because I love Chick-fil-A. But that's not what we do. I think one of the most important things we can do is get out of the way of business and let them do their thing. We are responsible for zoning. So for example, we make sure that a major industry isn't right next to your house. That's something that we do, and we control where businesses can locate and what types of businesses. If our government is stable, we are more enticing to companies. They're taking a risk on us. They don't want to have chaos in government because that makes it hard for their businesses. We're also responsible for making sure infrastructure is in place. That's a big thing that we do. And making sure that our processes are easy for businesses to work through. It's very difficult when they can't get their permits and their plans approved and these things, and they don't get the assistance they need. They're going to go to another city where it's easier or where the fees are lower, those kinds of things. We also have an overlay zone, which has benefited Facebook and helping, and Tyson as well, right?
Right.
Yeah, helping them because they meet a certain criteria, we're able to fast track their processes. So those are the kinds of things that the city council can do. And we also work with the chamber. We found that our small businesses weren't getting the service they needed. So that's why we wanted to do the chamber to help those smaller businesses as well. So,
yeah, because everything that the council would like to do in the city for the residents takes funding, right? Takes tax dollars. And of course, just like you mentioned, there are certain restaurants and services that residents are always hoping and looking for. And well, how we get there is through economic development. So that's that's pretty much where everything starts, because nothing goes forward without funding. And certainly when we can partner with these companies, it begins to bring in the funding. So, Aaron, this might be a good time for you to talk about, your role in economic development and help people understand exactly what economic development means to the city, what it means to the residents, and maybe even clear up some misunderstandings.
Yeah, absolutely. So economic development in Eagle Mountain City is tremendously exciting. You know, it's a rapidly growing community on all fronts. And I think economic development helps in that process, where our entire goal through bringing businesses into the city to doing these things is to help increase the economic prosperity and vitality of the city. And it's a great opportunity to be able to do this. We can't do it alone, obviously. You know, it starts at the local level with involving other city departments to be able to understand what we can accomplish, how we can use our infrastructure in ways that help to create a positive environment for these businesses. Like Councilmember Burnham mentioned, you know, the city council plays a big role in that, in helping to guide and facilitate the process so that we are creating a community that people want to live in. And that it takes businesses of all kinds. You know, obviously we've been tremendously successful to be able to welcome both Facebook and Tyson within the space of 1 year. You know, that was a huge thing for the city to be able to create positive buzz for us. And now we're on the map when it comes to these other businesses looking to locate their operations. And so we work with partners at the state level, both the governor's office, but also the Economic Development Corporation of Utah, who is kind of the go-between between cities and businesses as they're looking to operate and locate here in Utah. And working with these partners to help them understand what our goals are, what our vision for the city is, to be able to bring the kind of industry that creates a good climate, you know, that bring in jobs, that bring in a diverse kind of jobs, so that we have the ability to weather economic storms and to be able to provide, you know, good jobs for our residents, no matter what industry they're in, no matter what education level they have, that they can really make this their home. And then we absolutely are excited to see so much going on, you know, kind of more of the commercial and retail sectors as well. Being able to see Arctic Circle come in and grab their building permits and getting ready to move dirt. You know, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it really is. It's exciting. Maybe you could give us some insight on how a company like Facebook or Tyson, how does that help to bring in these other companies? How does that factor in?
Absolutely. I think it definitely is a mutually beneficial type situation, where when you look at the more traditional brick and mortar retail, the commercial uses as well, they look at two main things: daytime population and housing. Those are the things that they're looking at. They want to know how many people are going to be around during our business hours. And so having, you know, a company like Facebook, for example, where they have, you know, roughly 1,000 construction workers on site every single day, there's not really many places for them to be able to leave off site and go get lunch. And so businesses are seeing, hey, there's people here. We should be around these areas. I mean, it definitely creates kind of these positive relationships where they're able to piggyback off one another. And those workers are driving right past, you know, some of our retail areas. And as they're going to work or going home, they want to shop and they want to pick up things. And it definitely helps being able to have companies like that, where our retail companies, they're looking. They want to know, okay, where's the traffic coming from? Who's there? You know, they're concerned about housing. They want to know how many people are going to be within a certain radius of my business. And if we don't meet those criteria, then they're going to look elsewhere. And so that's some of the challenges that we face as well, is being able to tell our story, but then work against some of these factors that may direct them to other communities. But it's a fun challenge to be able to help tell that story.
Great. Thank you, Aaron. Tell us a little bit about what else directly these companies are bringing into Eagle Mount, and what kind of investment are they making? Where's that money going?
Yeah, these large companies, even the small companies, they make large investments in infrastructure. You know, that's a huge component of what these businesses need to operate, and then that gets turned over to the city for future development. You know, with the Facebook project, they're bringing in over $100 million of infrastructure, from roads to power to water, sewer, all these different infrastructure needs that not only go to serve Facebook, but that entire surrounding community, which opens up that land for future development, for businesses who are able to come in and you know, tie into that same infrastructure that we're able to use to help benefit. And it's not just for the businesses. You know, some of the infrastructure going in for the Facebook project is directly benefiting residents in that area. Tyson as well, the roads that are being built as a result of that project are going to provide better access for our residents. It brings in more water for our community, which may sound contradictory, but as a part of their development, they are required to bring in water. So we're not taking it from the residents, but that they're bringing in new sources of water that are able to help, you know, future development, create a more resilient community. And it's a huge expense for these companies, but they see Eagle Mountain as a wise investment. And because of their decision to invest here, we are able to help pass it along to the residents as well.
Thank you, Aaron. I want to personally thank Aaron, Holly, and Donna for all that you do to help to bring quality businesses here, to keep Eagle Mountain vibrant, and to continue to improve on the quality of life in our city. So thank you for being here today. I also want to thank Linda Peterson and Evan Barrett, our staff, for making this podcast possible and keeping it together. So thank you. So this is another installment of Talking Up Eagle Mountain. Thank you for joining us. And we'll look forward to getting out our next podcast in about another week. So thank you for being here.